It's happening in your world tonight.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Hey everybody, I'm Stuart with your Fantasy Sports Radio Network news update. More bad luck for the Washington Redskins. Linebacker Reuben Foster was carted off the practice field with an apparent leg injury just minutes into the start of OTAs today. Foster's leg also required an air cast. He spent the first 2 years with the San Francisco 49ers before being released in November following a domestic violence misdemeanor charge. The Redskins claimed Foster off waivers, and the charges against him were dropped in February. The 25-year-old had been projected to start alongside Mason Foster in the center of the Washington Redskins defense. Remember, Marius Geis hurt last year, too, so more bad blows for the Washington Redskins. Same in the division. The boys, they don't need this. Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott was handcuffed by security at a Las Vegas music festival this weekend after shoving a staffer to the ground. In a video obtained by TMZ, Elliott can be seen arguing with his girlfriend. Then Elliott gets into a security guard's face and uses his forearm to push him into a metal gate. He was detained and handcuffed but not charged as a precautionary measure. He left Vegas on Sunday and then went to his youth football camp. Elliott was suspended 6 games in 2017 after an NFL investigation concerning his ex-girlfriend. The Pro Bowler wasn't charged with any criminal offense. In NBA news, the Minnesota T-Wolves and Ryan Saunders have agreed on a multi-year deal to make him the team's full-time head coach. The Timberwolves president of basketball ops, Gerson Rosas, met with other candidates at the draft combine, but they kept on coming back to Saunders. The 33-year-old is a son of the late coach Flip Saunders. He has served as Minnie's interim coach since the firing of Tom Thibodeau back in January. The Wolves, not great, 17-25 under Saunders. We could see the Brooms tonight again in Portland. The Trailblazers hosting Golden State in Game 3 of the NBA's Western Conference Final tonight. Warriors, they're laying 3 points in this game. Portland was favored in the game before. And the total right now, 219.5. Warriors minus 165 on the money line. Blazers plus 145. Golden State, a commanding 3-0 series lead. They got room to play with. Toronto and Milwaukee Tuesday night in Toronto. The Bucks laying 2.5 in that basketball game. Total set at 216. And Milwaukee leads that best of 7 series, 2-1. A trade in the MLB today. The Atlanta Braves have acquired right-hand reliever Anthony Swarzak in cash from the Seattle Mariners in exchange for right-handed pitcher Arodis Vizcaino and southpaw Jesse Biddle. Seattle also sending close to $2 million to the Braves to balance out the trade, according to MLB Network. Swarzak signed a 2-year deal with the Mets back in 2018, but was traded to Seattle in that deal for closer Edwin Diaz. Victoria Day holiday in Canada means baseball action at the Rogers Centre. No holiday for the home team. Red Sox absolutely pummeling the Blue Jays right now. 12-2 in the bottom of the night. Michael Chavis with home run number 9 for the Bo Sox and only 93 at-bats so far. This kid is on fire. The Red Sox, everybody in their lineup doing some damage. If you stacked Red Sox with your slate, very, very happy. 6-10 baseball action. Oakland and Cleveland. Tribe laying 185, total 8. Anderson Carrasco, 705. The Yankees are minus 185 at Baltimore. Over under 9.5. We have Hap taking on Cashner. 7-10 action. Washington laying $1.40 against cold as ice, the New York Mets. Corbin versus Font, total 8. 8.05, Philadelphia and the Cubs. Cubs minus 125, total 8.5. Arrieta versus Darvish. 8.05 action. Seattle at Texas. The Rangers are $1.45 favorites. Over under 11. Leaky Roof versus minor leagues. 8.10, we got the White Sox and Houston. Astros minus 240, total 9. Burr versus Peacock, 9.45 action. Atlanta laying $1.40 at San Francisco, 4.5. Soroka, who is on fire, versus Suarez, 10.07 action. Minnesota at the Angels. Halos minus 130 in this game, total 9. Odorizzi and Cole. And at 10.10, we have action there. Arizona taking on the San Diego Padres. Padres laying $1.45, total 7.5. Weaver versus Paddock. NHL action on Tuesday, San Jose and St. Louis. The Blues can close things out. Line in that game, $1.60 for the Blues, total 5.5. They lead the best of 7 series, 3-2, and can win the West at home. Boston Bruins, they're awaiting the winner there in the Stanley Cup Final. I'm Cam Stewart. Stick around. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. We're going to have a fun time today. We got Mike Blewett, a whole lot more. Stick around, everybody. Red Heat and Rage, Hour 1, Gabe Morency, Cam Stewart, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game Time Decisions.
All right, let's roll. Back to Razor Radio has it begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, who I was actually with this weekend as we watched the Preakness, Golden State Warriors, Portland Trail Blazers.
Yep.
And we watched our boy Ryan Hainser from Toronto get obliterated. And we picked the pieces up. What up, Cam?
Yeah, how are you doing, Moretz? You look good. That was the whole thing about the weekend. Very impressed by you, Gabe. Have you seen I've changed the landscape a little bit so the Leaf poster is not there? As you move my table closer, you could see my fatter face. And I will say this, Hainser, yeah, kind of like what a lot of the chat was saying. He needs to get bigger shirts. He just likes it real tight. And when you're a big guy with a boiler, you'd think you'd want baggier clothing. But Hainser goes the other way. He likes the European look, though he's got a big boiler.
The European look.
European cut. Actually, I'm impressed by you, Morenci. You partied late. I was up to do the show with Colonel Kurtz, and you know him. He doesn't drink. Attention! So I was ready to go. Dropped you off at the bus stop, and you look great. As for Hainser, I don't know what he looked like. I think he darted out around 6 o'clock in the morning. He could be anywhere. But then I saw the tweet that, like a golden retriever, you found him on Sunday. So perfect stuff. Everything worked out, and the Raptors win in double overtime. Hey, man, if you were going to pick a game, buddy, you picked the right one. Madness.
Yeah, everything worked out, I guess, barely in the end. It was unbelievable. Barely. After the game, last night's game was insane. It went on forever, so I didn't realize how late it was. And so, guys, last night, I had to leave at like 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning type thing this morning. So after the game last night, it was like midnight already when I got out of there. So I called Hainser and I sent him a message. I said, listen, I'll come out and hang out. We'll go out for a beer after the game here. And I got a split real early in the morning. I said, I don't remember, obviously, where you live. I didn't know where he lived. So I said, I'll call you when I'm in the neighborhood. And I knew the neighborhood. I said, what subway station is it? I get the subway station. When I get out of the subway, dude, my phone is dead. Done. I'm in the middle of nowhere in the Danforth. I got no idea where to go. And I just thought, you know what? If a cat can remember where he's been before, I can remember. So the big key was coming out of the subway, which way did I go first? That was the massive, like, all right, I got to get the original direction right. Because I did walk to the subway once out of his place. I was hungover. But I got a pretty good memory for this stuff, Cam. So I actually tracked down his street, but then all the places looked the same. I did wake up two of his neighbors. Took me three places to get it right.
Yeah, tell him why you sleeping. Bang, bang, you've been bang. Watching the Raptor game. Wake up.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So we tracked him down. Good times though with Hainser last night. But yeah, we're still recovering, Cam. I got to tell you. You know, it's rough. 48 hours, music studios, horse races, basketball games, trains, planes, automobiles, but we're back and we're ready to rock.
You said it, brother. And hey, at least this time it didn't have a horrible ending. It had a happy ending. It wasn't easy. Probably heart rate went up a bit, but we got a happy ending with a double overtime win, buddy. Yeah, these guys don't make it easy on themselves. Oh, man. Yeah.
No, they really don't. The Raptors.
Siakam, hit the free throw, brother. Come on.
The Raptors are at their best when they're under pressure.
It's true.
When they're like left for dead, so to speak.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Gabriel Morenci throwing down to Ranger Redhead. Cam Stewart, Mike Blewett will join us a little bit later on. We have no replay today because I wasn't on the morning show, but we will be back tomorrow morning. So, yeah, Mike Blewett will join us. And, of course, Cam, Mike was at Bethpage Black, I think on Friday, actually,
So he saw some of this this dominant run by Brooks Koepka, yet things got a little interesting yesterday,
sure
Cam, with
did,
Dustin
buddy.
Johnson
sure
late. And then, you know, just no one can
time.
Catch up. Yeah, it was just, it was close, but no.
Marenzi,
Koepka gets it done.
Let me tell you something. And those fans in New York, it was wild. Like, they got, like, borderline, it got hostile. Like, Brooks Koepka is one of those guys. He's very, very good. People don't like him, but they don't hate him. They just respect him for having a golf game. He's very cocky, too, but he backs it up. So I have never seen this before watching a golf tournament. Fans in New York, DJ, DJ, DJ. Come on, Brooks, you're going to choke. Like, you heard, like it was kind of like, whoa, man. Like, right when the beers started to settle in on the 14th hole, things got weird. Like, it was weird to watch a golf tournament. It got surly. It got weird. Brooks Koepka, for the first time, I looked at his face. He looked rattled. The lead became one. And then when that happened, the wind changed. And, like, Dustin Johnson hit two loose shots, and then Brooks Koepka got his lead again. Dustin Johnson is amazing. What he did on that day, but Gabe, he's done this so many times. Every time he makes a crazy run and gets close, he can't close it out. He's so close to the miracle, he just can't grasp the golden ring. You know what I'm saying? And a couple things didn't work in his favor with the twist of weather, but I'll tell you, those fans at Bethpage Black, they turned on Brooks Koepka. It was a hell of a lot of fun. I know a lot of people in the golf world are going to call it, you know, it was distasteful or whatever. But you know what? It's a sporting event. These guys make tons of money. Deal with it. If you want to be a professional, deal with it. There's going to be turkeys there that are drunk. Battle through it. And he did. But it was close.
No, you're right. Every other sport and every other athlete, for the most part, I guess with the exception of tennis, has to deal with some sort of adversity as far as the crowd is concerned. And even tennis is at its best, actually, when it's rocking and stuff. Like, right, you know, the Australian Open is sort of the rowdy one. And, you know, the U.S. Open get a little bit rowdy, but it's actually funner when the crowd is into it. A lot of tennis players will like it. But as you mentioned, Brooks Koepka, so he's kind of just sort of robotic, isn't he, Cam?
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was watching the tournament with Richard Garner, actually. Yesterday, me and Garner, they had it on at Real Sports before the game, Real Sports Bar, an arena, a bar in the arena where the Raptors play. And he brought it up that basically same thing. He goes, you know, it's hard to like this guy knowing that he doesn't even really like golf. Like, Koepka's not a golf fan. He doesn't watch golf. He can't really tell you about golf history or anything like that. He's just really good at it, right?
Yeah.
Like, when the tournament's over and stuff, like, he shuts it down. You know what I mean? He's not like a golf junkie. And I guess it could upset some people, you know, that live and breathe the game. And this guy's shown up and has won his fourth major in his last eight tries.
You know what they got to do, Gabe, though? Get better. It's one of those things, like, if you want to bitch about Brooks Koepka and stuff, get better. And Dustin Johnson was one of those guys, like, Cantlay again. You know, earlier out, there was a couple guys, Hideki made a mini move. Cantlay was there. All these guys, Scheifele, he bogeyed the last five holes. Actually, the guy who held up the best was one of our crazy picks. You know, the Wallace guy from Britain who came third, and Jordan Spieth. I'll give Jordan Spieth all the credit in the world, Gabe. I got so much respect for him after this week. He hits it. It's totally the anti-course for him. But he loves it so much and grinding. I like to see stories of guys, you lose it a bit, then you get it back. He is working his ass off to get it back. If that course, if it was at somewhere else, not as long as Bethpage Black, Jordan Spieth would have been a factor in that tournament. I got a lot of respect for DJ. He couldn't close the door. He ran out of gas, but you said it. Koepka's a guy I respect. He's just never going to be a fan favorite. You know, people were busting his balls. Like, he kind of brushed his girlfriend away, you know, when she tried to give him a kiss earlier and stuff. It just, it's very, when he deals with people, it's kind of not natural looking. You know, he's also a guy, though, that people don't know. He worked really hard earlier in his career. He had no golf game. He played on the Challenge Tour and whatever. So you can't really say he didn't work at it now. He has a lot of God-given abilities, but he's played on a lot of shitty mini tours, and now he's figured it out. I'll tell you how to get golf better, Gabe. Don't make the courses longer. Make them shorter and harder and let guys hit the ball straight. I have a problem with the way golf is going because it takes medium ball hitters out of the tournament. If you look at the leaderboard, Dustin Johnson, one of the biggest hitters. Koepka, one of the biggest hitters. Matsuyama, one of the biggest hitters there. Like, guys like Spieth, you know, Cantlay, he's pretty big. But you know what I mean, Gabe? I think they're going in the opposite direction. you want to actually lower. It doesn't need to be 7,600 yards with wind blowing. It could be 72. Just make it tough. Make the rough thicker and undulations on the green that way. Don't lengthen the courses. They're already long enough.
You know what I'd like to see, Kev? Night golf.
Yeah, night golf. Like the old days. Remember when Hal Sutton, they were playing in the dark? Yeah, that was fun, man. Night golf. I love that shit, too. Yeah, night golf. Glow balls.
Yeah, yeah, I played, exactly. I used to play that. There's a course, it's called Club UFO. It's in Montreal.
Cool name.
And, yeah, there's a couple of them, but they're called, like, Club UFO. And it's, like, UFO theme camp. You know what I mean? Like, they sort of have, like, you know, they have, like, an alien sort of next to where you tee off and stuff like that.
Like the e-markers
exactly. So it's sort of like a UFO themed golf course.
Cool.
And they have a 9-hole and they got an 18-hole. And it's at nighttime though. So you play awesome. You can play at night. You can play during the day, but the cool thing is you can play at night. So you play at night and they have lights. It's kind of dark, but they have lights. You can play. And like you said, the balls, like, they glow. So it's kind of blows. Like, they're not always easy to find if you put it in the woods or something like that, right? But it's just fun. Like, there's something cool about playing golf at night with the lights and stuff. And I remember, like, they've done it a few times. I think that Tiger, remember Annika Sorenstam years ago? That might have been at night. Remember there was the Battle at Bighorn and all that type of crap?
Bighorn. They had a couple of majors that ran into the night where, like, it was so dark. They have, like, the flashing, like, not total darkness, but... Yeah, I wouldn't mind a little bit a night golf.
No, you know, I'm just dating for an entertainment factor. Yeah, I'm not talking. It's not good for competition.
No. They'll bitch about everything. They bitch about this. Oh, there's a little speck here. What are you going to do at night golf? I can't read the green. What about the break? You know what I mean? They'll flip out. They'll flip out.
Yeah, you know, there was once a time, though, where I'm sure they said, you're crazy. We're not playing baseball games at night. We play during the day.
Yeah, that's excellent point. Excellent point. You know what I mean?
Sort of like the Taco Bell hotel. People are like, oh, that's a stupid idea. I'm like, yeah, Hooters opened a hotel.
They do. And Hooters Hotel is, as you know, you and my buddy Visine Vince will attest to it. The Hooters Hotel is fine. Good rates, good quality. Hell, when you got kicked out of that other hotel, they welcomed you with open arms. A lot of respect for Hooters.
Yeah, I'll always appreciate that for Hooters.
Oh, his Hooters got the old pat on the back. Thanks, Hooters. You helped me out during a bad time in my life.
Yeah, I was having a rough night, and Hooters was there for me. We appreciate it. I haven't stayed at Hooters, actually, in a couple of years. since then. You know what the problem is? I don't have a problem with Hooters. The place is all right. You know, if you're there for a couple of days and stuff, like, it's not the type of place you stay with your girlfriend, you know?
No.
It's like, it's not five-star, but if you're just there to party for a couple of days and you know, you're going to other places, it's a good location, but... It's also a very, very shady corner, Cam.
It is.
Like, that's the thing with Hooters. Like, you know, you want to be able to watch the games without knowing that people are, like, scoping you out. You know what I mean?
Excellent point. I'm a target at the El Cortez. It's just
you know
funny
it
that
too.
Me,
yeah,
me
there,
and my girlfriend. Like, yeah, me and my girlfriend have gone there for so long, though. It's almost like it's weird. We're kind of like family members there. So if a guy is looking at us weird or going to get grifted, they kind of like, you know what I mean? We know everyone in the sports book and the general managers and stuff, the owner. We've been around so much, but you're right. That area is not safe. You probably want to go somewhere else, but you got to. I'm going to tell you something, though, because you know this as well as me. Vegas ain't cheap anymore. These teams are coming there. Like, there is no value in that town. These are the places we're going to be staying if we ever go back, because the other places are going to be even more. It's going to be unattainable to go there soon. You talk about it. It's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. No, it really has. You know what? Vegas has done a good job adapting to making money, not just from gambling. Right? They couldn't sustain themselves, right, just on gambling. The city constantly, like, sort of evolves, but, you know, they have all these teams out. It's becoming sort of like just a normal, real big city. But at the same point in time, there's less and less value for the tourists, right? They got greedy.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decisions continues. Ready to Rage Radio, I am Morenci. As our voice sort of starts to come back a little bit, a lot of yelling in the studio. Yeah, not bad, a lot of yelling in the studio on Saturday, and then a lot of yelling last night during the basketball game. Another real sweat job. But I tweeted out earlier, whatever happens, you know, listen, I'm a diehard Raptor fan. So, you know, I'm happy with the way that they've fought through the playoffs, Cam. They're showing a ton of heart.
Yep.
You know, they're battling, man. It's not easy. They're like Jordan Spieth trying to, like, grind through a course, right?
Yeah.
Guys are fouling out, diving for loose balls. But Norman Powell steps up out of the blue, finally drops 19.
Big time.
It's just, you know, and it was last Sunday only. So, like, these Sundays, man, just like a week ago, we had the whole Kawhi Leonard thing. And here we are Sunday night. At the at a home game for the Raptors, and I can tell you the Raptors things go pretty well for them on Sunday nights. 2-0 so far in these dramatic like hot spots.
You're right, Gabe, and I'll tell you something too. I don't want to make it about the reffing again, but these guys don't get home court calls. If you look at the fouls in the game, every home team, and you look in basketball, always has the majority of things go their way. It wasn't like that at all. I thought Brook Lopez on moving screens pushed guys a lot. They have Lowry fouling out with 6 minutes to go in the game. Hell, like, I'm thinking the Greek Freak had five for so long in that game, and then he finally gets fouled out. But Kawhi Leonard stepped up at the end of that game. You're right. Norm Powell was an X factor. Hate to say it. Fred Van Fleet, it's hard out there. It was nice that he hit one shot, but he literally looks like a guy from the YMCA. You know what I mean? Like, he's a YMCA-type king out there. He doesn't look like a baller, and I feel bad for him because he's a really nice guy. Does a lot of commercials and stuff. He's just in his own head right now, but good on Norm Powell, man. Oh. He stepped up. And if he was huge the last time we beat Milwaukee, too.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet continues to give the Raptors pretty much a zero production.
Yes.
Probably about the same amount of production Mike Blewett, if not more. He's speaking of YMCA hoopers. Mike Blewett stepped up in
with us.
How's your ball handling skills, Blewett?
I wouldn't say that's the strength of my game, but a lot of hustle, a lot of D, maybe some boards.
Hustle and D. I don't know if you'll get any boards in the NBA.
No.
The hustle and D. We'll take. But yeah, another dramatic game last night for the Raptors. You have to wonder, honestly. How many times they can, like, you know, live with nine lives and dodge these bullets, Mike, right? Eventually, you know, they're going to lose one of these dramatic games. But they're back in this, and it's unbelievable. I was unaware that it's 93% of the time in a conference championship that a team that's up 2-0 goes on to win. So the Raptors have an uphill battle here. But they get the game tomorrow, and it's 2-2. Let's see Milwaukee deal with being under pressure now. With their fans going, oh, my God, we're choking, and what's going on? Let's let the Milwaukee Bucks know that, wow, if we lose this game, we're down 3-2. The Raptors have to get through tomorrow, obviously. But once this series tied at 2, if it is, it changes the dynamic a lot. We'll see if Milwaukee can handle the pressure, Mike.
Agreed. And obviously a lot of guys played a lot of minutes. Kawhi, 52 minutes. Siakam, 51 minutes. But you know, Giannis and Chris Middleton threw up 45 and 44 minutes, too. So I think everybody at this point of the postseason is feeling the effects of what's happened previously. The Bucks obviously had an easier path to this point, and I think that's what could see them through this. But it's what we talked about last week. As great as Giannis is, Kawhi is the best player, and he showed again last night a 50-40-90 game with hustle plays and defense at the end to help them win it.
He has guided them. He's been there. He's done that. Without him, obviously, like we know about the numbers, without him, they'd be toast, right? But it's more even just sort of like spiritually, leadership-wise, they don't have anybody ever that's been there and done that before. It's always one thing, Cam. It's sort of been a problem with the Raptors. They didn't have guys with rings. They had a bunch of guys that had all sort of failed together over and over and over. And it's like, guys, I can't lead you. I don't know. You lead us, right? Like, and they kept hitting the wall. Norman Powell was talking about this after the game last night, in which he stated that like three or four times, I guess Kawhi Leonard told everybody, it's good. Just calm down. Stay calm. Like he always tells people, stay calm. We're cool. It's good. And when Kawhi Leonard's telling you that, you believe in him, right? The guy's won before. You know that he is so good and he stays calm all the time. So, you know, it's more Kawhi Leonard in the huddles than Nick Nurse. You know, Nurse is doing some good things, but Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk much, but he's the one that's sort of keeping him tight together here. You know what I mean? When stuff starts to unravel, Kawhi Leonard's the one that goes, guys, chill out. It's all good.
I don't want to sound negative or whatever. Like when I hear Nick Nurse in the huddle, it's more about a motivational speech you'd hear from high school. There's no X's and O's. There's nothing. It's very basic. Me and you could be giving him the same speech. It's almost shocking all the time because I'm sitting there listening. I'm like, what are you doing right now? Oh, we're rebounding. Like it's always basic, minimalist stuff, and it's kind of odd.
You'd be surprised, Cam. You'd be surprised how simplistic most coaches speak is, actually.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
You know what it is?
You know where
you
I'm coming
from. You don't see
it.
Though. I know, but I'm just stating. I totally get it. He's a rookie coach. He's going through some growing pains. But people don't realize it. The real stuff is the assistants that'll just say something subtly. That whole little stuff is just motivation, right? Like the head coach isn't even the one saying, all right, we're going to do this switch now. We're going to do this, shift it up. He's sort of working the reps and everything. Like, you know, it's amazing. You know, look, the Malone guy in Denver, great coach. Very just sort of encouraging. Love the ball movement. Quick. Yep. You know, tempo. Take the open shot. You know, or listen, you know, you're not doing enough on defense. It's sort of like the UFC, where the UFC's worse, man. You get the worst advice. Like from a UFC trainer, Mike. Like a UFC fighter will be on his back with like a 240-pound dude on top of him. And the trainer will yell, get up, and if you can, get up. Like, yeah, I think he would if he could. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's
The other one is in the UFC. Like, Ronda Rousey used to be getting killed. She's getting punched in the face, and her trainer, you're doing great, Ronda. It's like, no, she's not doing great. She's about to get knocked out.
I think to your point, you see a lot of the assistant coaches are the ones that are really – diving in, really get to know players well, know the technical aspects of their game well, maybe know their personalities even better. The head coach is sometimes, to your point, Gabe, doing motivational stuff because he's really the CEO of the team. It's a little more tight-knit than a football team, obviously, because of the sheer number of players. But I think those assistant coaches are the ones that are going to help players more in that moment. But the greater point that you're making is – it doesn't matter if Kyle Lowry's been there for a long time and he's been their floor leader. He hasn't gotten it done. Kawhi has. So they're going to have to look to him for guidance, even if it's a soft-spoken manner. They're just going to look to him and know that he has gotten it done before.
Yeah. It's kind of nice that he's calm too, Gabe, right? Because most guys in the business are, you're going nuts. It's a playoff game and stuff. Like, it's actually nice to me when I'm watching the game, I'm sweating and stuff, Mike. And then I listen to Kawhi and look at his reactions. I'm like, wow, this guy just looks like he's chill all the time. Like at the beach, he's got it under control. It's nice to see. But a concerning thing for the Raptors is this. Giannis hasn't done anything in this series. I'll give the Raptors full marks. This is the best defense they've played. It's suffocating. But they're still going to overtime and double overtime and finding ways. If this guy starts going to the hole and getting calls, it's going to be very, very difficult for them. You agree?
Tomorrow's going to be a big an issue.
It is.
Kawhi Leonard played 52 minutes.
Yep.
Last night. It's a career high. Yep. He's never played that many minutes before in his life. So
and
he played
ginger.
52 minutes. And yeah, God knows the ailments that he has.
Yeah.
I had a problem giving him 52 watching
the pace of all of this.
So stressful. But Kawhi has already looked tired. I can't imagine where he's at now. We talked about this with Joel Embiid, about Joel Embiid. Oh, he's got a respiratory illness. Oh, his knee. Oh, he's got food poisoning. Oh, he's got this. I said, guys, like Kawhi Leonard could have malaria and you wouldn't know. He wouldn't tell you, right? So, like, I don't know what he has. I mean, Leo Rowden sort of dropped even like last week to me that Kawhi's playing through some things right now. But that's who he is, man. You know what I mean? That's who he is. But Norman Powell was a massive key last night. Siakam scoring. The Raptors can beat the Bucks. It's not going to be easy.
Yep.
As you stated, Cam, they're not getting calls. So it's sort of, you know, five against eight a little bit here. It's one game at a time, man. It's all you can do. And looking at the number right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are 2.5-point favorites right now in game four. And I say thank you. Give me the Raptors plus 118 on the money line.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Gabe, to our point, what did we do? We did the Portland Trailblazer three-step, but this time we actually hit our third step, like Giannis with his four steps when he goes to the rim. We hit first quarter, half. And honestly, Mike, that guy travels all the time. I'm not going to get into this stuff. It's a comedy act. And another problem is I'm not the mayor
of
Toronto.
The double right foot jump stop is my favorite, where he goes right foot, right foot, back to the left.
It is a travel. I don't care what anybody says. He's moving. He takes that additional step plus the three steps. Also, Kawhi Leonard is getting mugged in this series. All hard contact. And they get nothing from him. Yet Giannis, little bit. Boom. You got Brook Lopez pushing guys from behind. I'm not saying it's all Raptors. They had a couple good calls. But Mike, honestly, without even being, you know, a biased fan or whatever, it is a continual thing that these guys deal with. I just want to know if you agree with that.
It's difficult for me to say that Kawhi isn't getting calls. He did get to the line 13 times last night, but I know what you're saying. I think it's leaning one way. Typically, we see across the NBA on a whole, home teams get calls.
Yeah,
we'll see if they get them tomorrow.
I will be right back with Mike Blewett.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Shane Bieber yesterday in MLB DFS, a 9-inning complete game gem against the O's with 15 Ks. That's the type of form of performance you're going to need to take down a tournament. Let DailyRoto.com guide you to victory as you swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball. Become the 8th DailyRoto.com lineup optimizer user to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament. Become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a special 10% discount today.
Well done, Cam. So I don't know what the hell it is with New York teams, guys. But it's amazing, isn't it, Mike? So, you know, the New York Giants, of course, you know, the whole NFL draft thing, the Giants were in the news on a daily basis. The Knicks, you know, last year, just pretty much a daily basis, although the Knicks were, you know, at least had a plan. The Jets are just a train wreck of weirdness in which Adam Gase somehow is going to be in charge of, like, hiring his own boss moving forward. But now
I talked to Manish Mehta on the Saturday show about this the other day. Great interview. Yeah. It's incredible.
That's right. What about the weirdness of like hiring your boss?
The whole
so
breakdown
speak?
Of Adam Gase. Yeah, everything. The owner admitting he doesn't know what he's doing, or the CEO rather.
So yeah, I see that at Giannis Zapetis has actually he's done. He had a violent fall. He fell off a horse.
No, not a horse.
or
in his ranch, fell in a hole.
In his ranch,
and
a ranching accident, right? Not fell off a horse. He stepped in a hole.
Stepped in a hole? Wow, that's a big hole.
Yes.
So you're telling me, so he was ranching and he stepped in a hole, or the horse stepped in a hole? Like, what kind of ranching was he doing? Like, what do you mean ranching?
Yeah, was he throwing rope?
He's got a ranch in Florida, apparently. He's known for riding horses into spring training. He's a big fan. I didn't realize he had this big ranch in Florida. He was doing some sort of work down there while he's recovering from double heel surgery, by the way, attempting to do some ranching and fractured his ankle. So he would be at risk of actually violating his contract agreement, his contract, banned activity, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, we don't really, I mean, I guess we don't know exactly how he got injured, right? I'm saying, I don't know, Mets GM saying that, you know, he stepped in an awkward hole and something with a pole. I don't know. One thing I always say, you never know the truth when it comes to athletes' injuries, Cam, right? They never really tell you the truth whenever it happens.
Hearing,
like
hearing a deer, all sorts of stuff, shower incident. You never know.
Remember Jeff Kent? Jeff Kent actually, Jeff Kent has made his injuries up. Remember Jeff Kent actually fell off like a truck, like washing it?
Yeah.
Washing his motorcycle on the back of the truck.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which he's also not allowed to ride.
Yes. Yeah. Washing a motorcycle. There's been a lot of dudes like
Carl Bovano got into a car accident and lied about it.
Peeling an apple, heard that one, a little sharp knife. That one gets in there.
You know, it is what it is. It's not like, you know, he was gonna give them much anyways, but it's amazing that the Mets season has just sort of started to implode like this. And in other news, I swear to God, I go to a basketball game, I go away for one day, I come back and I'm sitting Peyton Manning and the New York Jets. I'm like, what the hell are these people talking about? Peyton Manning being the general manager of the New York Jets. And in other news, I don't know what will happen here. And I'll throw this to you first, Mike. But Dallas Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott was detained and in handcuffs, not arrested after a parking lot argument at the Electric Daisy Carnival. Maybe you guys should stop going to like shows. I don't understand. Supposed to go to a show, have a good time, smoke some weed, guys. If the idiot in the NBA is like running away from like trying to break into VIP areas. I swear to God, guys, I was in an Uber going to MetLife. I was going to FanDuel Sportsbook. And most of the Uber guys listen to like Hot 107 and Charlemagne the God and all this type stuff. So it comes on and they're like, you know, Migos, blah, blah, I don't know, man. Trey this and T-Win and blah, blah. All these, like, new acts. I don't know who the hell they are. And I hate to say it, but I thought, like, they're like Saturday, June 2nd, whatever, at MetLife Stadium. And I just thought to myself, like, oh, yeah, that'll end well. You know what I mean? Like, I was just thinking that'll end well. I was just thinking, like, which athlete will get arrested there? Someone do this, that. And I swear. Last week, it was Josh Jackson. Yeah, a guy gets into it and runs away from the cops for some reason while he's handcuffed at a music festival. It's like, bro, you don't have a backstage pass. You don't have a pass. Move on. Go start your own party. You're an NBA player. You're rich. Get chicks around you.
Right.
You know, and now you look at Elliot. The Electric Daisy Carnival, that's the one like the rave, like, you know, the glow sticks and all that. You're supposed to just be chill and stuff.
Like a chill.
Now, he doesn't put his hands on this girl, but he is blocking this girl. He's aggressive with a woman. He ends up getting, like, security ends up grabbing him stuff, but he didn't get arrested. You know, this guy's just an idiot, though, isn't he? Mike, I'll start with you. He's just an idiot, this guy.
It's the second time he's been in public creating some sort of disturbance with another woman, maybe even the third time. I mean, we have the big incident for which he was ultimately suspended. We have the situation in New Orleans, which is on video. And now this, and why is it? You can always point fingers and say, well, I didn't really do anything and it wasn't really my fault. But if there's a third incident, the smoke fire situation applies.
You could be at the wrong place at the wrong time once. Like that poor kid that got shot on the Giant. Guy's hanging with the women's tennis team. They threw a party, you know what I mean? And he gets shot.
Yeah.
It's not like he brought it upon, but you're right. hey, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah, Elliot's always at the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, he's the wrong place. Right. He's the wrong time.
That's the thing. And another thing about this is, he is the problem. And another thing is, so this is another girl, right, Mike? He had a problem with his ex. Now this is the current girlfriend. You get into a scene where you're arguing, whatever. When you're in that, you're that type of player, you got to go away. Like, you can't make the situation worse. He's lucky. Like, they handcuffed him because he was out of control. But then he had a camp. They said it's not enough to get arrested. But still, you know, you have an incident with a security guard. He goes to a Dallas youth camp on Sunday. I was talked about it in my update. It's unbelievable. You said it, Morency, where there's smoke, there's fire. This is 3-4 incidents, Mike. You mentioned it. Like, I don't care. And I'm a big proponent. Stay at home. Have people at your place. Don't go out in public and do certain things, especially if you're a stooge and you want to pick fights with people and argue
with
people.
He's lucky he didn't get arrested.
He's very lucky. They handcuffed him, Gabe. They handcuffed him and let him go.
I know. It's on video. He's arguing with his girlfriend. She's trying to get away. He's blocking her.
Yeah.
So he's, like, getting in her face and stuff. Security are like, yo, bro. And, like, Ezekiel Elliott's lawyer says security overreacted. What are they supposed to do? Wait until you drop her? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they see it.
Yeah.
Elliott does not put a hand on his woman, but is clearly blocking her from leaving over and over. He then pushes an event staffer into a guardrail.
Yes.
Like, you're freaking lucky, bro, you didn't get arrested. Like, you really are. And if you got arrested, then you're suspended another 4 to 6 games. Goodell might still do something. You think the NFL going to do anything about this, Mike, you think?
I mean, I think they could. It sounds, you know, without having seen the video, it sounds relatively tame, but they're also working with a guy with a resume of having been suspended and having gotten in trouble. So,
yeah, for all we know, the last suspension, they told him, next time you do something, I'm getting you, right? Like,
people are wondering why they don't give Zeke an extension before Prescott and before the other guys. Would you give him an extension right now?
He's an idiot. Just another one of Urban Meyer's.
Really didn't get
he's one of the best running backs.
A major reason the Steelers didn't give an extension to Le'Veon Bell is because he'd been in trouble before. A major reason.
I wonder if Le'Veon Bell ever going to play for the Jets?
He will.
I would suspect yes. It's not. They're not really that badly tied to the contract after this season, but at this point, when the CEO openly admits he doesn't know what he's doing, and you have staffers on the record, albeit anonymous, saying that he doesn't know what he's doing, I would say anything goes.
We only got a couple more minutes
today, too, Gabe. He got carted off in practice today. 10 minutes in it. Remember him with he got off the domestic violence charge. Yeah. So he could be in big trouble. Apparently, like, crying afterwards. So it must have been a serious injury. So. Bad news for the Redskins. Like, remember, Geis and this. They just guys can't seem to get it right. It's crazy.
So we've only got a couple of minutes left with Mike. Me and Cam talked a little bit about Brooks Koepka winning this thing. How do you feel? Are you an anti-Koepka guy? Like, you know, I'm different. I'm not a hardcore golf fan. I generally don't like most of them. Like, I don't. That's my biggest beef with it. Like, I can't pull for them. I'm like, oh, great. Now here comes his trophy wife out to, you know, hug him. And, hey, look, he wins. You know, I won $9 million, guys. Good for you, Phil. You know what I mean? They're just sort of, I don't know. It's just, I have a hard time connecting with PGA players. But I know a lot of them have nice stories. So I'm not discounting them all as all rich guys and stuff. But are you an anti-Koepka guy? And tell us about, is the crowd really rowdy at Bethpage Black? Because it seems like a lot of people were complaining. Golfers thought it was disrespectful and rude sometimes.
I would say that you're going to get a different crowd on Long Island than you'll get just about anywhere else in the world for a golf tournament. So they're going to be bolder. They're going to be louder. They're going to be more direct. And I think the golfers probably felt the effects of that. If they don't like it, they don't have to play there. But that's what you're going to get. So, yes, it's rowdier. But as far as being an anti-Koepka guy, I'm not that person. I wouldn't really boo somebody or openly root against somebody unless he had done something wrong. And the guy's won 4 of 8 majors. Because you think he's a little too boring or not exciting enough, whatever it is, I'm not on board with that.
Yeah, and a lot of the thing too, Gabe, is a lot of these guys in Long Island, they played this course, so when guys are sucking, boo, you feel it on with a little bit of booze, public course, right? Hey, I could have made that.
Yeah.
Sure you could. It was that course played. It was a killer course. You saw the conditions, Mike, on Sunday. If there was more holes there, Dustin Johnson probably would have won that damn tournament. That course killed those guys on Sunday. When the winds picked up, done.
Yeah, that's right. The wind is really what made it extremely difficult. I was there all day on Friday, and what made it, I think what is sometimes difficult to tell on TV is how blind the approach shots are. It looks like it's a straight shot, but those approach shots are blind a lot of the time, and the greens are like plywood. So the course looks easier than it is, and it plays really hard. I sat on two for most of the day on Friday, and everybody blew putts except for Koepka and Adam Scott. Everybody else.
Mike Blewett with us. All right, Mike, Golden State Warriors tonight. Do you think they close them out and sweep the Blazers?
What do they call it? A gentleman's sweep if the Blazers come back and get one? I can't imagine how they're not completely demoralized. I said the other night, I wish they would stop doing this to themselves, taking huge leads and then getting annihilated in the third quarter. So, yeah, I'll say the Warriors close it out tonight.
Mike Blewett. Mike, good stuff. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
No problem, fellas. Good to talk to you as always.
We've got a couple of hits. Yeah, God, we've got a couple of hits without having to talk about any dysfunction with your Pittsburgh Steelers. Although I will say,
Big Ben's talking about Antonio Brown. They want to set the record straight.
Well,
so there's always something, Gabe. Always something.
Is he really?
Yep.
I was going to say, though, every time Blue joins us, you sound different. Like today, you're like on, I don't know, like there's like an echo. Like you're like a ballroom.
Is today
band,
good or bad? I'm in a conference room, but apparently it's echoing.
Conference room.
That was a little echoing.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, level one continues. Game Time Decision. That's Red Heat Rage on radio, Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. Thanks to Mike Blewett for joining us as we pick up the pieces following another epic Sunday night Toronto Raptor win. Great times last night. Shout out to our boy Willie. Shout out to Avery as well as we hung out at Jurassic Park Square. Met a lot of cool people from all over the world, people from Brazil, Japan last night. It was crazy. Like our little area was like a United Nations camp. And, you know, we had this nice couch, great view. And like I said, there were dudes from Brazil. There was a girl from Toronto that like lived in the condo type thing. And her friends from Houston were there, and they were all like into the Raptors big time. And there was like Chinese tourists from China,
nice,
not Japan, China. And he had a Raptor jersey on. He bought it there. He's like, oh, the Raptors. Him and his girlfriend were like jumping up and down. And like people, it was one of those deals last night too. We talk about Raptor fans. Out of all like the fans in the city, Raptor fans get along the most.
I agree.
Like, Leaf fans are just a bunch of rich dudes that no one really talks to each other. And
hey, settle down.
Blue Jays, same thing. People, like, go in cliques and they're friends. The Raptors, like, people sort of, like I said, it's like all walks of life. Like, you know, like, it's even true. In our area, man, it was rich people. There was teenagers. There was young people. It was, like, all types. But after the game, everyone, like, jumping up and hugging and stuff. Like, man, it's been a hell of a ride with this Raptors. Hopefully they can keep it going tomorrow.
Yeah, you bring up some good points. It is a friendlier Raptor Nation. You got to remember something with Leaf fans, too. What's there the hug about? What, we lost to the Bruins again? You know what I mean? At least the Raptors, there's a little bit of happiness with what you're doing. And I will say that, yeah, there's a lot of Leaf fans that are jerks and stuff. Some are nice, though. Like Vizine,
think
Vince,
about
he's
that,
a great
though,
guy. Yeah,
think about the Raptors And when they lose a game or two in the playoffs, the heat that they get from jerk-offs online and stuff.
Yeah, it's
they
true.
They suck. Kyle Lowry blows. They're chokers. They can't do this. The Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a freaking playoff series since 2004, and people kiss their ass. Crazy.
It is crazy.
All the Raptors do is win, and they get called out when they lose, right? Not everyone can win an NBA title, guys.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Guys, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. Gabe mentioned at the New York Mets gong show, now getting worse. These guys get smoked by the Miami Marlins. Now Mets slugger Yonas Cespedes has fractured multiple fractures in his right ankle after an accident at his ranch. He's now in a New York City hospital getting his ankle examined after a violent fall and stepping in a hole. He had a couple surgeries, but was optimistic he could play this year. He's owed $29 million this season and $29.5 million in 2020. More to come on this. Horrible, horrible, horrible bad luck and news for the Mets. A trade in the MLB. The Atlanta Braves have acquired right-handed reliever Anthony Swarzak and cash from the Seattle Mariners in exchange for right-handed pitcher Arodis Vizcaino and pitcher southpaw Jesse Biddle. Seattle also sending close to $2 million to the Braves to balance out a trade. That according to MLB Network. Swarzak signed a two-year deal with the Mets in 2018, but was traded to Seattle in the deal for closer Edwin Diaz. Victoria Day in Canada, national holiday, afternoon baseball at the park, and not a good holiday for people attending the Dome. Boston spoiling the party, murdering the Blue Jays, 12-2 the final. David Price gets the win for Boston, Edwin Jackson the loss, and Michael Chavis with home run number 9 for the Bo Sox. This guy's on fire, under 100 at-bats. He's already got 9 home runs on the season. Fantastic stuff. Let's go through the baseball board. 6-10 action. Oakland and Cleveland Tribe, minus 185, total 8. That's a 6-10 start. Anderson Carrasco, 7-05 action. Yankees laying $1.85 at Baltimore, over under 9.5. Happ and Cashner, 7-10 action. Washington laying $1.40 at ice cold New York Mets. Corbin versus Font, over under 8. 8.05 Philadelphia at the Cubs. The Cubs laying 25 cents. Arrieta and Darvish, over under 8.5. At 8.05, we got Seattle and Texas. Rangers minus 145, total 11. Leak and Minor, 8-10, Chicago White Sox and Houston. The Astros minus 240, total 9. Burr and Peacock, 9.45 action. We got Atlanta laying $1.40 at San Francisco. Soroka, who's is on fire, versus Suarez, 7.5. 10.07, we got Minnesota taking on the Angels. The Halos minus 139, Odorizzi and Cole. And at 10.10, Arizona at San Diego. Padres laying $1.45, total 7.5. Weaver versus Paddock. Some bad news for the Washington Redskins today. Linebacker Reuben Foster carted off the practice field with apparent leg injury minutes into the start of OTAs. Foster's leg required an air cast as well. He spent his first 2 years with the San Francisco 49ers before being released in November following a domestic violence misdemeanor charge. The Redskins then claimed Foster off waivers. Charges against him were dropped in February. The 25-year-old had been a projected starter alongside Mason Foster in the center of the Washington defense. So this could be very bad news for the Redskins. Remember, Geis got hurt for the whole season last year. Lots of key injuries for this team. And we talked about this one too with Blewett. The boys, they don't need this. Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott handcuffed by security at a Las Vegas music festival this weekend after shoving a staffer to the ground. In a video obtained by TMZ, Elliott can be seen arguing with his girlfriend. Then he gets into the security guard's face and uses his forearm to push him into a metal gate. Elliott detained but not charged. He was handcuffed as a precautionary measure. He left Vegas and went home to his youth football camp on Sunday. Remember, he was suspended 6 games in 2017 after an NFL investigation with his ex-girlfriend. The Pro Bowler wasn't charged with any criminal offense, but the NFL could still punish him. Colts signing quarterback Chad Kelly for depth today. NBA news. The Minnesota Timberwolves and Ryan Saunders have agreed on a multi-year deal to make him the team's full-time coach. The 33-year-old is the son of the late Flip Saunders, and he had the job as an interim basis since the firing of Tom Thibodeau in January. But the Wolves, 17-25 under Saunders. And we could see some brooms tonight in Portland. The Trailblazers hosting Golden State in Game 4 of the NBA's Western Final. Right now, the Warriors, they're the road favorites here. Minus 3 on the road, over under 219.5. Golden State,
minus 165 on the money line. Blazers 145. Golden State up 3-0. And Toronto and Milwaukee, that's tomorrow night. The Bucks favored on the road as well, laying 2.5 total in this basketball game, 216. Milwaukee up 2-1 in the best of seven series. I'm Cam Stewart. Stick around, everybody. Gabe Morency hosts hour two of Red Heat and Rage Radio. We're going to have some more fun. We'd like to thank Mike Blewett for stopping by. Gabe in Toronto for the weekend. We'll tell some stories, break down the baseball board, and a whole lot more. It's Red Heat and Rage hour two coming up next.
You have to decide what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Level two. Back to live action, fellas. What up, Yang?
Hey, Yang, how you doing, buddy? Nice to hear you.
Sean,
hey, what's going on here, fellas?
Sean, stepping up and in. Howard, what's going on, Yang?
Yang, are you okay?
Yeah, man, I'm okay, man. I had to go to divorce court and finalize, my divorce there.
Divorce court?
Yeah, buddy, I was out there like,
Me neither, Cam. Wow. Yang came out real there. Hey,
like,
yeah,
like, no,
no joking, right? Divorce court.
Right to it, baby. You know, ain't nothing to hide. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's all right. I've already moved on in my life, and she has as well. We're both adults about it, and we wish each other the best, man. Like, you know, when you love someone, you know, you gotta let them go, man. That's it, you know. And that's what we did for each other, and I think that was the best thing we could do.
A lot of things in divorce aren't very amicable, though. I'm glad you guys feel that way. You know, right, Morency? Sometimes women can be a little bit bitter and hold grudges. I'm glad Yang's figured it out.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it was like that in a little bit in the beginning. But, we got over that. You know, you have feelings. You're angry. You say a lot of things that you don't mean. And, you know, but, you know, we got over that. And, you know, we was able to, like, you know, maturely and amicably, break it up. And, I'm all right with her keeping the name. You know,
positive
keep
news.
Fighting it. Yeah, that's it. We just had a little lunch together. We wished each other well. And, that was it.
Oh,
yeah. Well, really nice. It's hard to take any shots at Yang today. My guy's coming from divorce court.
Like, I agree. Yeah. Like, when he lays one on,
I'm a little sensitive and all that, but it's all right.
Mic on, mic off. Gavel up, gavel down. Like, he went through some serious stuff.
It was crazy.
I got to see my boy Hector Camacho Jr. in Delaware. Got a first round knockout.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, so that was good. He fought at 160.
We'll get him on later in the week. Later in the week.
Yeah, he's in the city, so I could even bring him in studio if you guys.
Oh, yeah, good. Even cooler. Yeah, we'll set it up. All right, so, it's funny. When I come back from the FanDuel Sportsbook, like when I go to the FanDuel, like we go through Union City. You go through North Bergen. It's a classy town, North Bergen, Cam. You go through North Bergen, Jersey, and Union City. And let me just put it this way. Like, there's no organic food grocery marts, Cam, or it's basically like, you know, you're not getting a lot of flower shops. It's basically like a row of like pawn shops,
yep,
dollar store, lending tree or whatever the hell, the Muddy Tree and blah, blah. And it's just funny, man. There's this one place. It's so beaten down and Buddy's got a sign. I always see it like because we stop right at that light all the time. I look over, and it says, divorce, $399. And then in bold letters, it says, spouse's signature, not required. I'm thinking how many people have walked in and just think, yeah, here's $399. Yo, baby, we're divorced. Hey, wait, we're not divorced. Oh, yeah, we're divorced. It's done.
I'm going to tell you something.
So I don't know, in Jersey, I don't think your spouse is needed. But Yang, probably in New York, did it cost you more than $399, Yang?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was. It was more than that. It was. Close to like almost $1,000. Because it's court fees and all that stuff you got to account for as well. I mean, it's like $399, but then you got to remember that you got to pay court fees and stuff like that. So it comes out to be more.
Should have got married in Jersey instead of New York.
Did you do it yourself? Did you do it yourself?
Yeah, we did it ourselves. I mean, like we did it uncontested, so we just kind of like it was an easy process, baby. That's it.
Note to self, Cam. If I get married, I'll do it in Jersey, not New York. Divorces are cheaper.
Exactly. Hey, save $600, Morency. Smart move. FanDuel Sportsbook.
Like that. Spousal signature. Not required.
Not required. Not required.
I should have got that divorce.
Same time decision.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We're back to live action, fellas. Game Time Decision at Heat Lake Radio.
Yeah. $1,000 isn't too bad, Gabe, though, for a divorce. When I think about it, my first girlfriend who I moved in with after taking, she basically took everything that wasn't nailed down, you know, the computer, this and that, whatever. You're sitting there going, wow, would have been cheaper to get a divorce. Man, she took a lot of stuff. She's in the other side of the country now, Yang, with three children and happier. She couldn't deal
with me.
Too,
it's deeper to keep
she
a
wanted
baby.
Kids. She wanted kids, and I wasn't ready for them that early in my life.
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes women could pressure men like that. Like, you know, like, I think a lot of men get married to a woman because they feel pressured by the woman to marry them, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't mean you don't care about them. It's just you're trying to figure out your life. Kids are expensive, Yang. You know that.
Absolutely, man. I'm about to be a grandfather, so I'm excited about that. About to have all these expenses all over again. I'm excited.
I got to be honest.
Yes, Marantz.
To be honest, all this talk of divorce is starting to freak me out. A little depressing, guys.
Hey, you don't worry about it. You got the single life, man. Plastic cutlery. Don't worry about it. No chick's going to rob you, Marantz. What you going to take? Anything? What you going to take?
Just my pride.
Excellent rebuttal.
Just
my pride. Excellent answer.
All right. So let's move on from the divorce court here, guys.
That's true.
Bob from Vermont's now going to call in. I think Bob's divorced too.
Oh, is he? Okay.
We have a high percentage of people who have
divorced listenership. Yeah.
Hey, you know what's crazy? Actually, a guy last night from Scarborough was watching a Raptor game with. He was talking about like marriage and about how he just got divorced and stuff.
Tough times. Hard to find a single partner, Gabe. And it's diamond in the rough.
Says something in the air. Divorce. Like, yeah. So I don't know. Sounds like maybe we should, like, we have timeshare. Hey, you want to get out of your timeshare ad? We've got that guy.
Yeah.
That ad's the best. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And all he left here. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
I says.
So. Yeah, we got timeshare. Like, that's what we need. Like, I'm surprised we don't have, like, divorce. Like, we should have, like, a divorce sort of thing.
Excellent point, actually. If we're on the sales team, I like that one, Marantz. Good idea.
It seems like divorce. Since, I don't know, if our audience, like, seems like they know a lot about divorce.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, like, I bet a lot of gamblers will probably need some divorce information there, buddy.
It's true.
Yeah, excellent. True. Yeah, because they're going through losing bets and divorce fees on top of it. We got to consolidate. Give them a deal.
Yeah, I'd say that like 60% of our audience is single and the other 40% divorced.
Yeah, it's a good estimation. I think that's fair.
All right. Let's move on from divorce talk right now. Everyone's going to start crying in the chat. Oh, my God. That is terrible.
I don't need that, too. I'm starting to sweat, getting clammy. Yeah, something positive.
Yeah, it was already kind of sweating here. As it is. All right, so we do have the Golden State and Trailblazer game here this evening. You know, I just don't see how Portland's going to dig down deep and even, like, want to go back to Golden State. You know what I mean? Like, they know they're screwed. They're not going to win four games against the Golden State Warriors. They know it. The Warriors know it. You know, Portland will come out. I think if you're going to bet Portland tonight, Cam, I don't know how you feel about this game.
Yeah, I feel differently, actually, but continue.
I was going to say Portland probably come out in the first quarter and play well, right? Like, their season's on the line. If anything, they could play loose. Like, they were tight on Saturday when we watched them, and they just melted down.
True.
Me and Cam watch a game together, but they were still in the series on Saturday. You know what I mean? Like they were like, man, if we win this game, it's sort of like the Raptors were back in it. They couldn't do it. So they're not in the series right now, but it might help them. You know what I mean? They might just start saying, you know what, screw it, we're down 3-0. Lillard could just start bombing threes. Maybe they start going in. But Golden State are very good, like, as far as that killer instinct. And
that's true.
It's all right now. All right now about Draymond Green. Like, Draymond Green is an annoying, like, man, but I don't.
He's turned a corner.
I don't hate Draymond Green. Like, I find other guys annoying, but I'm just saying. He can be annoying, like his running his mouth, his complaining, his kicking people, then looking, what did I do? The guy, he totally changed, like in the last month. He had a metamorphosis about himself, and he's like the most interesting read now. And you watch his press conferences, he basically stated that he was watching game tape, and he said, I was embarrassed watching myself flop around like that. He goes, that's not who I am. He goes, it was embarrassing. And he goes, I was embarrassing myself. And yeah, last night he was talking about how his kid flops. He goes, my kid flops all the time. He goes, because he was watching me. And he goes, I told my kid, you can't watch the NBA anymore because everyone flops. And remember when everyone was bitching about the refs in the Houston series? He bitched too. But then after, he said, you know, we all got to shut up. Yeah, you know, and he said, me too. He was at a press conference. He goes, Houston needs to shut up. I need to shut up. We all need to shut up. He goes, we're all just bitching too much. He goes, guys, let's just play ball. Stop crying so much. And I think that Kendrick Perkins tweet really got to these guys. He tweeted all those players after, and he's a great follow on Twitter. We're trying to get him on the show, but he doesn't respond. Like, I don't know, he's a hard guy to track down. So he said, you all crying, you all trying to get fouls called, you're forgetting about to win the game. Like, remember about a month ago, Cam, in the NBA playoffs? Dude, it was a circus. Everyone was diving and falling and complaining.
It was brutal.
Like, they were like, you know, it was nuts. Like, everybody, every series, you know, was just sort of like, it was like, guys, man, you're all acting like 8-year-old kids, bro, at T-ball. Like, suck it up, man. Stop falling. You're 7'2". You're 6'8", 260. You act like you got shot, bro. Like, man up, guys, a little bit. And Draymond has done it. And I noticed at the end of the game the other day, Cam, not on Saturday. It was the game two. Everyone's tired. Everyone's bombing shots. Draymond's, like, taking it to the hole strong, bro. With, like, 2 minutes left. Like, aggressive. Ta-ta-ta-ta. He's fast. And, like, I'm like, holy crap, man. Like, he's in better shape. He's smart. He's like the real leader of this team again. Like, it's unbelievable how good Draymond Green is playing. I don't think Draymond lets him lose tonight.
You know what, Gabe? I'm betting on Portland the same way I bet on the Raptors, but everything you said is 100%. I've never seen a guy look different. Like, you said it. Like, it's not just that. Like, he looks healthier. He looks like he's figured something out. His actions, even the press conferences now. Yeah, like, he took it upon himself to break himself down, to bring himself up. When he saw Durant in the hallway, same thing. Of course, we're not a better team without Kevin Durant. Are you a stooge? Like, stuff like that. Like, Draymond Green has taken, like, the act and all the stuff that you hated about it and put it into a guy that you love, respect, worked his ass off. I agree with you 100%. I think it's great. And he's self-aware, and he figured it out. I hope it lasts. Other thing, I just don't think Portland's going to go down without a fight. I think they come out strong. I'll take them in the first half. I will take them in the first quarter, and I think they will do enough to force a game like Utah did before they lost to Houston. I know we're going to be on different sides tonight. I'm taking the points as a dog. We are no longer laying 2 points. We are getting 3 and 3.5 points. Anything could happen in this game, but you're right. Golden State is obviously way, way better. You were here. We watched the game together, and Portland melted down late. I get it, but I'm still taking them. I think they're going to – it's been a magical year for these guys, and I know Lillard's playing with beat-up ribs. They're separated, whatever. We all know that. But it's kind of one of those things. They're going to let it all hang out tonight, and I think they win a close game and cover the number.
Looking at the history of the Golden State Warriors in these spots, since 2015, the Warriors are 5-3 straight up and against the spread in 3-0 games.
Yeah, okay.
So they haven't always, always closed teams out, right? Man, it just goes to show, like, man, 8 times they've been up 3-0.
Yeah, I know. Dominant. dominant.
It's always at, like. But they also have won by double digits against the Blazers in a situation like this. You know, we'll continue to talk about this, but I'd be careful, Cam. I can see Portland hitting the first quarter. I can see Golden State taking over the second half.
I just like it.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, game time decisions. At Heat and Rage on radio. Oh, no. Somebody gave us a thumbs down on YouTube, Cam.
Uh-oh.
Thumbs down.
Hi. Thumbs down.
So to counter the thumbs down, we asked people, thumbs up. Cisco Liebert, thumbs up. Yeah, I know. I don't know if I'll be able to sleep now tonight, Cam, to be honest.
Yeah, can't make everybody happy, Gabe.
I'll be so shaken. I'll be so shaken, like that. You know, wow. Like,
yeah.
Like when people like give a thumbs down, like really, like, do you really think like it affects anybody's life? Like, do you think like when you do it, I'm showing them.
I'm gonna take a contrarian view of tonight's game, Gabe. I think it's when everyone thinks the team is done, I'm going to come back. And that's, you know, the way I play it. And you know what? I got a lot of flack the other day from a lot of professional cappers and stuff like that. Oh yeah, St. Louis, they can't beat San Jose. Yeah, they kicked their ass. That's what they did. They kicked their bloody ass in. And now they're plus 325 in the series. We're in a hedge position. And I'll tell you, SJ Sharkey might be missing guys tomorrow, which I pray, because I'm coming back. I'll tell you something, Gabe. I'm not screwing around. I'm going to put some money where my mouth is, hedge out at plus 325, get a guaranteed win, and sit back. If it goes to game seven, who cares? The Gamblu motto.
So what'd you do last time? You did the 250 in the hedge last time, right?
Yeah, but it didn't work last time.
It saved you because they lost, right? But it saved you. At least you got some money back.
You are correct.
You've done a nice job with these series plays, Cam, and the futures in hockey. You also have the Blues to win a cup as a future too, right?
Yes, I do, Gabe. Yes, I do. I'm a little bit worried about that one. Boston's good. I'm not going to take anything away from the Bruins. But I will tell you the one thing. Boston has been off for a long period of time, and I've just methodically watched these games. St. Louis, Gabe, is like a snake. They kind of get you. You know what
I mean?
Really,
like,
you're the animal, and they hurt you, and then you're still alive for a bit. But over time, you get weaker and weaker and weaker, and then the snake eventually eats you when you're done. You got no more energy left. They beat you down. They're a very, very dangerous team with the forecheck. And guys on San Jose are older. They've been getting thrown around. And let me tell you something about the Bruins. They got Chara on defense. They got a lot of other guys. I'm telling you, man, and the St. Louis loves to forecheck and put you into the glass. And their defensemen are big and strong. It's not necessarily a lock for Boston. I get it. Boston has the better offensive players with Bergeron and Marchand. I'm not going to deny it. But I think St. Louis has a lot of things to be to be scared. If you're a Bruin fan, everyone, I'm looking on all these sites too. Bruins sweep, Bruins sweep, Bruins sweep. St. Louis has no chance. Like, I don't think very few people think they have a chance. I think they do, you know? So
I think they do as well.
We'll see what happens.
I thought San Jose would beat them, but listen, the series isn't over yet, but
it's not over. It's not over.
But at the same point in time, I mean, St. Louis can really play with anybody. And yeah, I didn't tell you, Cam. I tweeted it out yesterday a bit, but I just tweeted once about it. So after I left your place, I get downtown. I'm walking down the street, and it's kind of awkward. Like, I got to go into Liberty Village, but I'm at Union Station, and
there's no real streetcar.
It was kind of a nice day, so I'm like, I'll just walk over, right? So
that's a nice walk.
I start walking, and I'm on King Street.
Yep.
And where the Score used to be, King and Peter.
King and
I'm
Peter,
walking
yep.
along. And it's early, right? It's like, 11:30 or whatever, right after I got off, basically, after I was with you. So 11:30 in the morning type thing. But it's a holiday weekend, and the streets were, like, quiet yesterday in downtown Toronto. Like, there was no one on the street. So I'm walking along, and I hear a voice, and it's P.K. Subban.
Really?
P.K. Subban standing there. But like I said, there was dead quiet, and he was standing kind of with friends. It wasn't like strangers, you could tell. Like, he was with friends. But I didn't even see him. I heard his voice, and I look over. I'm like, oh, man, there's P.K. Subban. Then I thought, I'm like, oh, man, is Lindsey Vonn with him? Right?
Yeah,
I was like,
oh,
Lindsey,
yeah.
And like, and no, she wasn't. But I'm standing on the corner, and I sort of contemplated. I was going to go up to him.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, hey, I'm a big fan. Can I get a picture? But I didn't want to be that guy. He was talking to his friends. It was like Sunday morning. It was quiet. I don't know. Like I said, it was just kind of awkward. Like, and I was still kind of buzzed, Cam, after leaving your place and stuff. So I'm hungover, a buzz. I even shaved and stuff. I'm all dis. Like, I was like, man, I don't want to meet P.K. Subban like this. You know what I mean? So I'm standing there, and I came this close to saying, hey, what up, P.K.? And I didn't, so I'm standing there, and I could hear him talking, and I heard him say, St. Louis is going to win today. And I heard him say to his friend, they were talking about hockey. I heard him say, St. Louis are very physical. They wear you out. They're really tough to beat. And he goes, they're just too much. And I heard P.K. Subban say, I think St. Louis is going to win the cup and stuff. Oh, and he plays against them all the time, right? So it's funny.
Yeah. Oh,
I made a note. I would have told you I was going to text you, but I already knew you were on them. I was going to say, yeah, P.K. Subban likes the Blues today.
It was crazy, Gabe. Excellent. Great story. And, no, I was thinking the same thing. And I didn't even think about the angles of these games. That game started at 3 o'clock. San Jose is an older team. It's a noon start for them. You know what I mean? St. Louis, it still would have been a 2 o'clock start on Central Time. But noon start, older team. Carlson's got a groin injury. It kind of like, it was weird. And I'm thinking, nobody really thinks the Blues can beat the, like, they didn't just win that game, Gabe. Like, it was early. San Jose came out and they hit a post. And they didn't score. And then after that, it was pure annihilation. Like, it was just, they got better and better as the game went on. And they broke their will, it almost seemed like. I still have to hedge out. But I looked at San Jose, and they, at the end of that game, they looked defeated. Like, they looked like they were in a fight, and they know they got beat up, and they're afraid to get back in the octagon with these guys for more of a beating. That's what it felt like. But San Jose's got a lot of really good guys on their team, veterans. It's nice to know P.K. Subban is riding the Blues train too. But a lot of guys I respect were all over San Jose yesterday. And I think age is catching up with these guys big time. Winning the Stanley Cup is a war of attrition. They look hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. They're starting to, they've been slowing down for the last like 5 days or last couple of games. You can tell they're starting to skate slower and the injuries are catching up to them. The Blues are freaking resilient too. Right, the Blues, like, they just don't stop, man. Great physical conditioned team, the St. Louis Blues. But San Jose have been here before and been left for dead before, Cam, a couple of times in the playoffs and have dug down deep. And, hey, if they win game six, then anything happens going back to the tank in game seven, right?
Yep. Well,
so
I'd be an idiot.
The series is not done yet.
I agree with you. And, Gabe, and the thing is, if you're getting +3, I'm seeing, like, live +325. On some other sites, maybe like +340. Like, even though I believe St. Louis wins in game six, I'd be a fool not to put a little bit of that money on that, because in game seven, I need that situation. I'm not a greedy guy. I just want to win, right? So I even though I think they're going to take game six, I'm at that price at +325 or more. I think I got a sprinkle. Tonight's basketball game, it's really up in the air, buddy. I don't know what to do. I know Golden State could annihilate them. I'm hoping that Portland has some pride. I think it's McCollum's going to have to do a lot more than Lillard. Lillard doesn't look right with the ribs, but I think if he's knocking his shots down, they get the crowd into it. This could be their game where Golden State doesn't put their foot on the pedal, then they annihilate them back in California. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
We'll get into the baseball card as well. We'll run through the baseball board. We'll see if Cam is going to step up and in on the diamond tonight. You know, one thing I'll say, too, about P.K. Subban, he's smaller in real life than I thought.
Yeah, I know. He's small. I know. It's crazy. He's
small. No. Like, and he was wearing like shorts and just sort of this weird, like expensive looking, like summer shirt type thing. That's what stuck out to me. I was like, wow. I was like, he's not that big. Like, you know, I was standing next to him. Like, he's shorter than me. Like, he's, And he's not really ripped either. Like, it's not like he's all muscle. You know what I mean? Like,
he's kind of lean.
Put it this way. Like, if you looked at him and you didn't know who he was, you wouldn't think that he's, like, one of the best hockey players in the world. You know what I mean? It's often like that, though, Cam. Like, George St. Pierre's like that. You see George St. Pierre next to you, you're like, man, he's not big at all. Right? But, man, he's big in the cage, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, like, is. I met P.P. Subban before when I was working at, when I was doing that stuff at the Score, right? And he came in with me and Renee to do a commercial for, I think it was like Hyundai or something like that. And I met him, and that was the first thing that I thought too, Gabe. I'm beside him. I was thicker, bigger. Like, I'm like, wow. Like, and he didn't
look pudgy.
Like,
he's not fat, but he's sort of pudgy.
Yeah, he's got that kind of hockey dough. Hockey dough, it's not like he's not fat, but it's not like ripped. And that's what we talk about. The old hockey players looked like that, right? They didn't have the cutting muscles and the sharp. It was just kind of like, he's in shape. He takes his shirt off. You're like, oh, okay. Like, he's not, he doesn't have a paunch or anything, but you're right. Not totally ripped. It's very, very different. He's just, it's kind of weird. He's got like a little baby fat.
Yeah, nice guy, though. Nice guy. So,
he was very nice. Very nice to me, too.
Yeah, you could tell, he's nice. Like I said, even he was standing there talking to these people about hockey and stuff on, you could just, and he kept talking. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, I stood there for like a minute and a half or so. And sort of like,
just taking it, absorbing
it. Yeah, and it was weird because I crossed the street and then I stopped again and looked back. And he sort of looked at me, right? I'm like,
he knew who you were, probably.
Probably. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, it was right outside the Score. I thought it was funny, right? So I'm like, man, I got to go back. I was like, I got to go talk to him. And I did the old, I walk like 3-4 feet back. And I was like, nah.
I do that
like,
all the time.
I just have like, nah. I turn around.
The half walk, I do that all the time. Hey, man, I want to get. And then I'm going, what the hell are you doing? I do that stuff too when I see people downtown. One guy
I thought of him too because it was one of these deals. You get it. He looks so fresh, bro. The morning. He had this like pristine white shirt on and these nice shorts and stuff. And he looked all healthy. And I wasn't feeling too good, bro. I'm leaving your place, 10:30. I reek of booze. You know what I mean? I didn't really just want to meet him like that. It sounds weird, but you kind of get it, right? I'm all disheveled. Anyway, PK, I'm a fan. I should be thinking, met the guy from the Score days, man. The guy was all wasted at 10 in the morning. He's going to tell his buddies or something. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Was it a direct trip, though, when I dropped you off? A to B? You went right to Union Bus Terminal, right? No stops?
Oh, it was great. It only took 22 minutes. No traffic.
That trip is, it's a good one, man. People don't know. It's real quick.
I imagine sometimes when there's traffic during rush hour, it was stuck on the bus. But...
Oh, yeah. I've been in that bus for 2 hours. You caught it on a good day.
All right. We'll hit the baseball board and more.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Sees the opportunity to live bet the Raptors when the Greek Freak crowd out double OT last night. Take a shot and open a sports wagering account with FanDuel. FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book, by going to the FanDuel.com/grid, where you receive a free bet up to $500. That's a free bet up to $500 when you open up a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Call into the show with your winning wager and walk us through the bet. We'd love to hear from you. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. Open up a new account and claim your free wager of up to $500 today.
It's a nice bonus right there. Nice bonus.
Big bonus.
And I've got a, I'm looking behind me here because usually I got some tickets usually around here. And I've got a Toronto Raptor series win cam that I'm hanging on to, buddy. You know, hopefully in about a week from now, where we're cashing his ticket and the Raptors are able to fight through and we can cash that series ticket. But the Raptors went up all the way to plus 500 after two games, man.
Wow.
You can really make money in this stuff, like this playoff stuff. And everybody gave up on him. I've noticed, too, listen, Raptor fans and not Raptor fans, but I don't know what it is about the Raptors. but a lot of people like don't like them or like to see them fail. Or
it's weird.
I think they like to see Toronto fail, or they're like happy that my favorite team loses. You know what I mean? Oh, Raptors, they choke. Kyle Lowry, blah, 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 blah. You know the crap.
Yep.
But
I do.
They all jump on the Raptors bandwagon. Like when Kawhi Leonard hit that shot last week against Philadelphia, everyone from all over Canada loved the Raptors and all part of it. The Raptors lose two games. They suck. We're done. Yeah, they're going to get swept. And I told people, they're going to go back home. They're going to win two games, and it's going to be tied at two. But I also said, I don't want you coming back. Like, there's just so many people. They're Leaf fans. They don't really watch basketball. They'd rather be the Leafs, but they jump in and they feel they have the right to rip Kyle Lowry or whatever. Or, you know, some dumbass in, like, you know, some Winnipeg Jet fan or Vancouver Canuck fan or something. His team sucks. So, Toronto's losing. It's like, man, your teams don't even get out of the first round. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's so much negativity and like about the Raptors as soon as things go wrong. But then as soon as they win, you know, the best way of putting it, Cam, is listen to this. And I think, you know, no one's ever put it better than this, than I'm going to do it right now. When the Raptors win in the playoffs, they're Canada's team. When the Raptors lose in the playoffs, they're Toronto's team.
Toronto's team. I know. Yeah, exactly.
Like when they win, Raptors all over the place. We love the Raptors. When they lose, it's like, Toronto sucks. You guys are losers. You know what I mean? Like, it's really annoying. And it's like amongst the most annoying fan base in all of sports. Like, we can talk about whatever. Green Bay Packer fans can get drunk and just kind of jerks off. But, you know what I mean? It's not as annoying as this on again, off again Raptor fan. And I've been seeing it for years. Remember, Sonny Vega burning his jersey and like, you know what I mean? I know, we lost to LeBron, let's burn stuff. And, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not calling him up personally for it. I'm just saying the people just turn on this team. They expect them, they didn't win the title, so they
excellent
suck.
Point.
Let's burn their jerseys because they didn't win the title. I hate to break it to you guys. Either no one named LeBron James or Steph Curry on those teams hasn't won a title in, like, the last 8 years, okay? So you start burning clothes and, like, hating teams and ripping teams on Twitter. Whatever, man. You're just acting like petulant children when you do it, you know?
Well, yeah, you can bring up the point, too, where you are in a big market. You don't think other people across the United States want to rip Los Angeles and New York-based teams? You know what I mean? It just comes bent down to that when you're dealing with Canada and Toronto. I love everybody in the country, but it's just one of those things that, you know what, Gabe? And I've lived it firsthand. I've been traveling all over, and when I first lived out in British Columbia just for a bit before I met people. I lived up in the Northwest Territories for 5 years. There's kind of a vibe that people from Toronto are dicks. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a stritty city. It's a stressful place and whatever like that. And I don't look at it that way. I just want all the teams to do well. It's also, Gabe, it's one of those things where I think there's a younger fan base and there's a lot more trolls with that generational fan base and the ages of the fans of the team too. They're not as loyal. They turn on things a lot quicker.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. Very good point. We're in a troll land, troll kid world. A lot of these people are the ones that are gone. But it's amazing. It's just, I don't know. I've learned a lot about people though when it comes to this stuff. Like, just like unprovoked sort of people tell me, your Raptors are going to get swept.
Yeah,
it's like, what are you looking for a reaction from me, or like, what do you want? Like, but then, like I said, when they win, like, I've been getting this all along. They're going to lose to Orlando after they lost the first game to Orlando. They suck. They're chokers. LOL. They're going to lose to Orlando. They beat Orlando in five. You know, they get smoked a couple of times against Philadelphia. Ha, ha, ha. They suck. They win the game. You know, they lose to Milwaukee. Oh, they're going to get swept. But every time the Raptors, like, win, nobody ever says after, great, you know, I was wrong. They stepped up. They just moved the goalposts. Oh, they can't beat the Bucks. I swear to God, if the Raptors come back and beat the Milwaukee Bucks and win this series, not one of these jackass clowns will say, wow, what a run by the Raptors. All they'll say is, they're going to get swept out by the Warriors.
Hold me,
right? they're just dickheads, for lack of a better word. They're just dickheads. Yeah. And that's all you can state. and they don't know anything about the NBA. They don't watch the NBA. They watch like a TNT game in a week, like every month, and they think they know everything about the NBA because they're it's the common thing, man. It's like every morning, like you hear, you hear the promo with Dane and Joe going at it. Oh, because Damian Lillard didn't score 50 points last night. He sucks. Right? It's like that's the world that we live in right now. If the superstar player, Kyle Lowry didn't have 32 points and 12 assists, then he's a choker in the playoffs. It's just, but it makes people sound stupid. Because, like, Kyle Lowry has the second best plus minus out of anybody in the NBA in the playoffs this year.
He played good, man. He had huge shots that last game, too. And another thing is, not just saying that, I thought a lot of the calls, especially at the end when he had four fouls, were very questionable. As a star player, he doesn't get any calls, which is really annoying. You said it, Gabe. Every open three hitting that game, I thought he played his ass off. And Norm Powell was a real breath of fresh air there, too. It was fantastic to see him play
well. People don't turn like this, Cam, on the Leafs. Like, they don't. They get disappointed, but it's not like, you know what, Austin Matthews is a choker. Like, who's a bigger choker, Kyle Lowry or Austin Matthews?
No, Austin Matthews.
I know Austin Matthews is younger, but at the same point in time, man, dude's been in the league 3 years now. You know what I mean? We're going into year four. Like, are you ever going to win a playoff series? You know what I'm saying? And it's like Kyle Lowry's won playoff series. Kyle Lowry and the Raptors were two wins away from being in the NBA Finals 2 years ago, jackasses. Right? Like, they don't, the Raptors postseason are failures. Like, yeah, I know, they're terrible. Like, you know? It's like they haven't lost in the first round of the playoffs in like 5 years, the Raptors. Remember when they got swept by the Wizards, I think, years ago?
Yeah, that was the last time it was bad. Yeah, that
was ugly. Yeah, it was an ugly one.
Yeah. I'll be honest with that. That one was
quit.
That was different.
They quit and stuff.
That's a long time ago, Gabe. That's a
long time ago.
And I see Leaf fan too. Like, I like to go on these chats now, and now I'm really like getting the sense the way people are. And it's actually, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a shitty society. It makes me sad, actually. Like, when I see everything is negative, suck.
Well, it's pathetic.
Nothing's good. And if you want to be that way your whole life,
but it's by people, Cam,
you're not going to be a happy person. I can
tell you. It's by people. Like, a good example is, I had an NBA MVP, Cedric Maxwell, the guy who won an NBA MVP finals, took Charlotte to the freaking Final Four. Great player, multiple NBA champion, etc. He said, Kyle Lowry would be on my team anytime. He fits in. He plays hard. He's like the old school, right? Like, players will say, oh, he's great. Oh, yeah, of course. He's had some bad shooting performances. I can't deny it. No one can deny it. I mean, he missed a shot every damn night for like two
years.
He's
also stepped
up. Yeah, exactly.
Big situations. So,
exactly. But it's criticism from people. Like, who do we have the right to criticize? I can criticize, I don't know, I guess a metal band. You know what I mean? Like, in my league, you know, I could say all of this about the band Creator or something. You know what I mean? Like, but I can't, who am I going to criticize the Rolling Stones? Like, who am I going to criticize an NBA player? Because, yeah, I know more. No one is self-aware anymore, right? Especially a bunch of people on their couch that are telling successful people what they should do.
Exactly.
And or how they should do it or why they're failures, et cetera. It's hilarious. Yeah. It's like, bro, worry about your own life. Worry about your own life.
Kind of like when people tell me to get my home. Kind of like when people tell me to get.
Yeah, Hanser. Yeah, telling you to get home. Yeah, it's your house.
I love Hanser, him, though. He's my brother. Yeah. You can really fix up that. Well, okay.
You can really fix your chairs up. Furniture.
What am I going
to do? He starts telling me to buy. You should buy some furniture, Gabe. Both me and Cam, like, just shut up, Hanser.
I do. I will say this in his defense. I just want you to be comfortable at night when you do a show.
No, but listen.
No, he means well. He loves us.
No, but Jeff Van Gundy had the best line, and it was during the playoffs. It was like 2 weeks ago. And Jeff Van Gundy said, never listen to criticism from somebody you wouldn't take advice from.
Good point. Excellent point. Excellent point.
He's really smart. It's like our boy Bruce Chatt. Like, Bruce Chatt hates on Kawhi Leonard. I'm sure Kawhi Leonard, like, is very upset about that guy. Right? I'm sure Kawhi Leonard is like, oh, man, there's a dude that lives in the Sioux that rips me on Twitter. You know, it's like, you know, it's the negativity of people that it's amazing to me. Like, I don't know how people can like tweet at people or tweet about people that are so successful and call them losers. It's baffling.
Excellent point.
Like, Dave, I don't like the New England Patriots, Cam.
No, but they're amazing.
You've never heard me once tweet about Tom Brady's overrated. Tom Brady's a choker, LOL, when he loses in a Super Bowl. Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's 5-3 in Super Bowls. He's lost 3 Super Bowls, right?
He's won 5.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like, oh, LOL, he's a loser. He lost 3 Super Bowls. No, the guy's been 8 Super Bowls. It's like the Buffalo Bills. Like, no, you get to 4 Super Bowls in a row and talk to me. You know what I'm saying? About, oh, how they're losing.
Yeah. I used to hate that, too.
Really?
Oh, they didn't win? You know how hard it is to get to that? Like, that's the thing. Like, you've achieved AFC dominance that far, and you've lost. And look at the teams they lost to back then. The Dallas Cowboys were they were unstoppable. The Washington Redskins were unbelievable. All those teams they met were at, like, their peak, too, and they played good. And it was a missed damn kick and a couple other mistakes in a game. Where you say Hostetler's got crazy glue on his hands, he's not fumbling the ball. And it's not even all Norwood's fault with the missed kick. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that work against you, and I'm with you. No, and I've been going, Gabe. That's why I don't tweet.
That's why
I go
on
these
Patriot
sites.
Fans want to take a note that it's actually 6-3 now. Yeah, my bad.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah,
no, you're hard to keep up with this guy.
six. Hey, you know what? More successful things. I don't rip people either. And, like, a good friend that I know, you know Renee from WWE. She's on, like, she used to be a Twitter maven. I remember the last tweet. I was doing the show with Kurtz on the weekend. She goes, I cannot stand people trying to get inside my head again. I am done with social media. I told her that about 10 years ago when we were working together. Like, you know what I mean? Be very careful about this stuff.
I can't even imagine the stuff that she gets.
Oh, it's yeah. As a woman, the way that the...
As a woman and as a girl, as the first woman announcer and...
Correct. She can't...
And
like, I think she had a breaking point. Like, she's done. Bye-bye. I can't deal with this anymore. You know?
Well, listen, I think she's miscast in that role, personally.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, she's great at what she does. She's putting it in a tough spot there. But I can't imagine. And plus, how many followers does she have? Like,
1 million?
You and I are chump change. Like, exactly. Like, I'll look now.
What,
like,
my 14.5 and you're 15 grand? Hey, you know what, though? I'm happy. Every one of the person who does, I'm not very active on social media. Thank you. We'll tweet out a couple pics once in a while. But you know what? The bottom line is, don't be mean to people. And if you haven't achieved it, shut up. I'm
Holy
with you.
Shit, yeah. She's got 970,000 followers.
Told you, it's almost 1 million, man. It's nuts. Like, crazy.
It's hilarious. Chick used to sit next to me in a cubicle.
Ow!
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
And this original riff here, at the start of the song, it sounds like an old Corrupted Youth riff, my old band. Crazy. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, man, it's us. I was like, wow. The song is actually called Drunk Driving. And we considered redoing it. It's a really good song. It's old school. It's a really good song, but... And today's, you can't have a song about celebrating drinking and driving. You know what I mean?
No, you can't. No.
Like, you know, I'm not going to lie. We did in the 80s, you know?
Yeah, well, I think times were different back
then. Well, we were kids, right? It's we were a punk band.
I know a couple bands that talk about that stuff, too, you know, about it used to be one of those things, you know, and it never used to take it, right? Like, you were going out, getting wasted, and then it's funny. And then the new bands talk about, like, to go to the bar and things like that. They don't talk about just getting wasted, right?
Yeah, used to be heading on the highway. Now it's calling in Uber.
I'm taking it safe.
But we had a great line in the song Drunk Driving, Cam, about can't walk, so I better drive. And I actually got it from... I actually got it. I know. I actually stole it from Herb Tarlick, WKRP. Oh, yeah.
That's great.
So there was a serious episode about, like, drinking and, like, alcohol, right? But in the 80s, too, like, in drunk driving, like, people make jokes about it.
It used to be. It used
exactly.
to be, like, a thing of your manship. Like, I am that drunk. You're that
drunk.
Yeah,
you're right. I could drive home.
I drive better than you drunk. I'm a bigger drinker than you. I'm a bigger man. No, trust me. It used to be like, hey, my balls are bigger. I could drive drunk. It was like something you'd be proud of.
And you know,
of.
Too. No, different. And in real life, too, sales guys are all drunks.
Oh, they're piss tanks. Right?
They have to be. So they're going to try to sell people. They have a drink. And you know what I'm saying? So that was the episode. Then Herb was stressed out trying to get deals, and he's been drinking too much. And it was like, oh, serious, Mr. Carlson, we have a problem. Herb's an alcoholic. You know what I mean? Like, so, and Herb was a bad drunk, mean and stuff. So Herb was all drunk. He gets up in a bar, Kev, and he goes, where's my car keys? He's got his car keys. They're like, Herb, you can't drive right now. He goes, well, I can't walk, so I better drive. He stumbles out. That's so funny. Can't walk, better drive. Yeah.